I'm Joe Kramer, composer of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to listen to this podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network.
From Television City in Hollywood.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network's Top 100 Television Show Countdown. Unleash the geek in you.
Time to get things started.
Hello and welcome to the Geekcast Radio Network's Top 100 TV Shows Countdown. I am one of your hosts, TFG on Mike. Joining me is Optimus Solo and Hard Candy Mandy. Hello.
Hello.
Blue Revolt Dan, hello.
How's it going?
It's going. And trying to be DJV from... Wait, which show are you from? I don't remember.
Simplistic Reviews Podcast, it's me. I'm the guy in the back.
Okay, there we go. There we go. And this is the finale night. This is our Top 100 TV Shows finale. We've got several topics that we're going to be breaking down. We're actually going to be going over our personal top 10 lists that we part of our Top 100 list that we submitted for the overall list. We're going to go over and explain why we had what we had, where we had it. Steve Megatron is off in infomercial land somewhere. Not sure what happened to him, but yeah. So, Dan, where do we want to start?
Oh, that's a good question. well, let's start with just kind of going over some basic statistics of the list to kind of have an idea where, you know, where the overall list stands. Some things to consider, like where, what decades fared better, what networks and all that good stuff. And I guess I'll start by throwing out this question. You guys, you know, we went through the list, but I don't know. I know Kevin knows this information, but at a first glance, if you were going to say what decade had the most TV shows, what do you think it would be?
90s. I'm gonna refrain from answering.
and by decade, I mean the decade in which the show first debuted.
Oh, I'm going to say 90s?
Yeah, probably the 90s, most likely.
It was quite close. It was 1990s with 24 shows debuted in the 1990s. 21 shows debuted in the aughts. Is that what they call it now? I don't even know.
I don't know. We ought not to bring that up again.
18 shows, just to show you, within the last 2010 to 2015. 18 shows for there, 15 shows in the 1980s, 6 shows from the 1970s, 10 shows from the 1960s, and 6 shows from the 1950s. So on that same note, any idea what network, and I will say one network overall pretty much not dominated, but had much more than any other network. Any idea what that would?
Yeah, I'm going to guess NBC.
Let's see. Yeah, I'll probably have to go NBC as well.
FX?
No, I don't think
FX,
so.
FX, you know, it fared well. It had 5 shows, but no, you guys are again right. It was NBC with 23 shows. The closest to NBC was, let me take a look here, was actually...
AMC?
CBS with...
Oh, the old folks network.
With 15, ABC had 14, HBO had 9, Netflix had 3, syndicated had 1, or sorry, syndicated had 2, like I said, Fox had 9 shows, CW, which I combined CW, NWB, we didn't have any UPN shows, shocker.
well, Buffy was kind of on UPN for a little while.
Yeah, I kind of combined those all into one for CW, and there was 4 of those shows. And PBS had 1 show, so and
like
BBC, the British Broadcasting Channel, had 3 shows.
So we had like 4 or 5 from Comedy Central, I think, too.
6 from Comedy Central.
6, okay.
So just an idea there, and also broke it down by number of seasons, like how many shows had how many seasons. any idea how many the what shows? I don't even know how to phrase this, but the average or the typical the most amount of seasons a show had, like
you're talking about the like which what was the most common length of the series?
Most common repeated number of seasons.
I'm gonna say 7 seasons. That's just a complete guess, though.
I'm gonna say 5. I'm going with 5.
Yeah, I'll go with 6 just in case.
Well, it was Kevin was right on the money. It was 7. 7 seasons had 12 shows with 7 seasons, 5 shows with 11 shows with 5 seasons, and 12 shows with 12 shows with 7 seasons and 10 shows with 6 seasons. The longest running show on the on the list. Any guesses?
Simpsons.
Sesame Street.
Sesame Street.
Oh yeah, I forgot about freaking Sesame.
With 46 seasons. Then comes
it's older than everybody on this podcast.
Yes, then comes Saturday
it's
Night Live.
It's older than Roger Moore. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's some random statistics there. I did, for those that don't know, I kind of ran the list again with using a different metric, where instead of kind of counting the amount of points, I went with the what is called the limited rank or the average score. So basically, where everyone ranked it, had to have at least 5 people vote for it, and then the average of where they ranked it within their top 100, and I then ranked it based upon that. Did see some major changes there. So what that does, though, it basically gives you more points for being higher ranked rather than with the way we currently have it, which kind of gives you more points for more lists and things like that. So
it also kind of eliminates the factor if you aren't voting on shows that you haven't seen, so it doesn't penalize a show for just not being seen.
Exactly. So it did majorly change our list. Well, and some things stayed the same, some things majorly changed. Our top 10 would be completely different if we did it that way. Ranking off of that, number 1 would be Breaking Bad, then Seinfeld, then The Wire, then Cheers, then Simpsons, and then Mr. Robot, and then
yes.
Monty Python's Flying Circus, and then The Daily Show, and I Love Lucy would make the top 10. And that rank. Some interesting things about that is that a lot of shows would actually not be in the top 100 whatsoever. For example, Louie, How I Met Your Mother, Modern Family, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Scrubs, 30 Rock, Kids in the Hall. Also, Flash would not make it within the top 100 doing it that way.
But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still would.
Wait a second. Hold on here. Wait a minute.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The only superhero shows that would make the list would be Daredevil and Arrow, oddly enough, if we did it that way. And actually, so that would eliminate a lot of those shows. But it would also eliminate Andy Griffith and a few other shows as well. But a lot of the modern comedies would have been knocked off the list, basically what we saw a lot of with doing it that way. Because what that tells you is a lot of people had those shows on their list, but not a lot of people had them very high. Right. Which is kind of why a lot of them ended up making a list over a lot of classic shows.
The ironic thing for me out of this whole thing, and I just realized this right after we had recorded the bottom part of the 50, when we came to Arrow and it came in at 52, that's exactly where I had it.
One thing to consider too, if we did it that way, like what shows would be best impacted that way? Like what shows would have the greatest impact on? And two shows that would have a big impact on wanted to make it the list either way, which would be Three's Company and Last Week Tonight. But the next one, which is quite interesting, CSI would go from not making the list to being number 16.
Yes!
Oh my God!
That was my number one.
Angel would go from not being on the list to being number 47. Miami That's Vice hard. Would make the list. Laverne and Shirley, a few other. The Facts of Life would make the list. Golden Girls would be higher. Perry Mason would make the list.
Yes.
Gunsmoke would be
Golden
higher.
Golden Girls would be higher is a funny yeah. sentence.
They would be. They would be baked out of their mind. WKRP in Cincinnati would make the list. Boy Meets World would make the list as well. It made the list, but actually would be higher. It would be within the top 15. So to show you that. So I think, you know, so there's a give and take there. There's some benefits right. to it, and there's some negative impact as well. So
Because it does it does eliminate the and not penalize the shows for not being seen, but it also heightens some biasness maybe that could show up in a heightened fashion.
Yeah, for like what I did too is like any show that had less than five, I didn't count because there were also a number of number ones that didn't make the list this time, which I don't think that happened in previous top 100s, but we had a few this time around. Mike Alt knows very well because his number one did not make the list with Nash Bridges, and also the number one.
Okay, we're not at the point yet where we reveal our overall top 10 and discuss why we have them where we have them. But I'll go ahead and say now, for me personally, Nash Bridges and The Shield are my two favorite cop shows of all time, and I know how the point system works. The higher you rank something, the more points it gets. So just like Kevin said a couple weeks ago when he put Cosby Show wherever he put it, you know, to get it on the list, that's exactly what I did with my number one. And hey, it didn't work. Fine, whatever.
Some other number ones that didn't make the list, Friday Night Lights. Taking a look. The Prisoner also was number one for as well. So... So Smallville was number one for a person. So there was a number of number ones that didn't make the list this time around because we had more lists this year. We had 29 lists in the last 2 years. We had only 20 lists. So that 9 extra lists made it kind of difficult for a show to make it. That's why you saw a lot of shows that, you know, people were aware of or like were popular enough. I think especially within the bottom half of the top 50 where. A lot of the modern shows tended to dominate because people are more aware of them. They may have more access to them or they're more in the know, where some of the more classic shows are easy to forget. Are we even doing the top 100? I mean, some people mentioned missing to put Honeymooners or Twilight Zone or not putting other classic like Cosby on the list or high enough. So I think that's why we saw a huge bias or a huge influx of, you know, modern shows was because it's easier to forget something that you haven't really talked about in the last 20 years or so. So
I think that's probably best evident if you, I know we gave the decade stats, but think of it another way too. If you go from the year 2000 to the year until current, so just those last 15 years, that composed 39% of our list. If you take the first 40 years from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, it was only 37%. So you have 15 years at 39%. You have the first 40 years at 37%. So really a lot of strength in those last 15 years.
But yeah, so that's some interesting statistics there. But I also could, I don't know if you guys wanted to go over too. I can go over some of the shows that just barely missed the top 100.
Yeah, I think, I think that's great. Like maybe the 10 that just missed it or 15 or whatever.
Sure. Let me pull those up real quick. So coming in at, I'll start with 110 was actually Conan, the TBS Conan show. And there was a question on, I think, the message boards or something like that regarding, like, because Conan has, like, three different shows. I did separate them. So some people voted for his TBS show. Some people voted for The Tonight Show. Some people voted for his late show. So they were all separated and voted based upon that. So that could be why some of his shows didn't get higher. But 110 was...
I think his late show was the best of Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. 109 was Police Squad, 108 In Living Color, 107 Murder, She Wrote, 106 Taxi, 105 CSI, 104 Boardwalk Empire, 103 The King of the Hill, 102 The League, and 101 Tales from the Crypt. Just barely. It had 393 points, and Saved by the Bell had 394 points. So
wow.
It was rather close.
They're pretty Scrooge. Similar shows.
Yeah, they're basically the same thing.
They both have a crypt keeper. Yeah. I mean, have you seen Mr. Belding lately? It's about the same.
And I'm sure, since Amanda would like to know, Family Matters is 114 on the list.
That was my number one favorite show that did not make the list. So.
And Columbo, I know some people asked about that. Columbo was 111. So. That it actually only missed the list by about 20 points. So one person listing it would have made the top 100. So if you didn't list it, it's your fault.
Thanks.
So do you want to move over? We already talked about it, so maybe it makes sense to kind of transition to that. It's kind of go over, you know, what we personally put for our top five, top ten, and the mindset we had in explaining, you know, why we did what we did.
Absolutely, but first, these messages.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yeah. Can Michael Jackson moonwalk?
Hello, friend. That's lame. Maybe I should give you a name. But that's a slippery slope. You're only in my head. We have to remember that. Shit. This actually happened. I'm talking to an imaginary person. What I'm about to tell you is top secret. A conspiracy bigger than all of us. There's a powerful group of people out there that are secretly running the world. I'm talking about the guys no one knows about, the guys that are invisible. The top 1% of the top 1%, the guys that play God without permission. And now I think they're following me.
He moonlights with Mr. Munson's taxi cab on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mom, when's Daddy coming home?
Well, in his own words, when he's GD ready. Myself. Something tells me any second now.
Oh, isn't that sweet, Michael? She feels it in her heart.
No, I hear it at the door.
Hiya, Daddy.
Hi, Art. Well, what's the matter with you?
Nothing.
No hello? Even they said hello.
They said hi.
But you said nothing.
Well, I was going to say good
evening. Oh, skip it. Will you skip it? I've learned to expect nothing but aggravation from you anyhow.
It's almost 7, Daddy. You're late.
He's always late, except after coffee in the morning. 6 minutes later to the second, watch out. And God forbid I'm in there shaving.
Listen, the workers of nature won't wait for no deadbeat who takes all morning to shave.
Hey.
Remember.
I'm not knocking it. I think you're a marvel. You know, I can even set my watch by how long it takes you to belch after a bicarb. 22 seconds exactly.
Now, listen, wise guy. You should have such a constitution, huh? They'd have counted you out already if you'd been in the accident I was just in.
No,
they couldn't hate me, no.
Well, what happened?
Well, it was this pushy dame, you know the kind, a yenter. She plows into the back of my cab. And I mean plow. Wham! Oh, them people, they're always rushing around, always in a hurry, trying to get to a sale or something, to save 4 cents. What a tribe.
Now back to the show. Do you see how your patience paid off?
So I know when I was making my top 10, there's a lot of different ways of doing it. And we talked about this, I think. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but when I made my top 10, like my thought was, or when I made my list in general, was, you know, the few things I ranked off of. First and foremost was like how great your show was. That was like the number one thing I considered, was how great it was. And also back in my mind, I was thinking, you know, if I were to just provide my list as the main list or promote it as like an article within itself, can I justify where I'm placing things? So that's why I didn't do things like, or try not to do things like place a show at a certain like strategic point, because I want to get it at a certain, like, for example, you know, I really love The Office. It's one of my all-time favorite shows, and I wanted to make the list, but I didn't. I ranked it, you know, not even in my top 20, because I don't think it deserves that ranking. Like, I think it I went based upon how I felt good the show was. So for my top 10, and my some of these we've already gone over, but I at number one I had The West Wing. I had two I had The Wire. 3 Twilight Zone. 4 Seinfeld. 5 All in the Family. 6 Sopranos. 7 I Love Lucy. 8 Saturday Night Live. 9 Daily Show. And 10 Breaking Bad. And honestly, this is probably the 7th or 8th version of my list. I did it. I ranked it a few different ways. I tried it by breaking it up by genre, ranking genre, and then ranking it that way. I tried by just starting with a show and putting the show like, okay, I think this one's better, so it's going above. I think this one's worse, so it's going below. I did it by getting a list of different shows and putting it in the, like, oh, this is a top 25 show, so it's in this category. This is a top 50 show, so it's over here. And I honestly, looking at my top 10, there's some things I probably would change. Like, I had All in the Family below Seinfeld. I went back and forth on those a lot. Like, I was like, I want to, where would I put my best my best sitcom, but so it was a challenge, and I like I said, I think I could probably do this again and it would be completely different. But Kev, what was kind of your mindset in doing your top 10? I know we talked about it a little bit, but you know, what was your list and how did you come about it?
You really want me to try to explain that?
Yeah.
All I right. got just my hat and it's kind of just
I guess I probably made my thing a little more complicated than it needed to be. What I guess my main thing that I was going for is I was trying, at least at first, to remove as much biasness and personal taste as I could to try to be as objective as possible. So first I just tried to get like what kind of facts, what kind of data do I have out there that would maybe lend to a show possibly being worthy, because I didn't want to miss something that was just like would have been stupid to miss because this, that, or the other. So I looked at, I did a point system and I gave different amount of points based on how many seasons it was on. So it was kind of the longevity argument. I looked at, you know, critical acclaim through awards, whether it be Emmys or Golden Globes. And I was strictly just looking for best show, like best comedy, best drama. I wasn't looking for any of the supplemental awards or those types of things. I looked at television ratings as far as the Nielsen ratings go, just to see what was popular at that time. And I'm not saying any of those were worth more than the others. It was just to try to give me an idea of maybe as far as like shows I'm not exposed to or shows from the past to make sure I didn't forget any of that stuff. But I also did add two very much subjective categories. And one of them was just my shows that I personally enjoyed, personally liked, beyond just, hey, this is a fun show, but stuff that I really got invested into. And then I also made probably the most important category for me was uniqueness. You can look at that in a bunch of different ways, whether it be creativity, whether it be, you know, not as many shows were like that, or at least up to that point hadn't been, regardless of if they got copied or cloned later on. And so I kind of added those, formulated all that into a point system and got my rankings. And then kind of like you, Dan, I did a little bit of an eye test and would kind of go a little bit into the groups and say, do I really feel like this should be in this group of 10 or should I bump it down or up a little bit? So I did kind of adjust things on a personal level, but the main reason I was doing all the point system was so I did not forget or just completely brush over something that should have at least gotten attention. Not saying that all the ones that got the most points made my list. There were some that I bumped off because I was you know, adamant that they don't show up on my list, but at least it made me aware of which shows were on that kind of level in that system. So that's kind of how I did it. What I ended up with is I ended up with The Cosby Show at number one, All in the Family at number two, Star Trek The Next Generation at three, Law and Order, ER, Murder, She Wrote, I Love Lucy, MASH, Cheers, and Seinfeld were my top 10.
DJ, let's go over to you. I know when a few years come up, I think you mentioned you kind of went based upon the way that show impacted you, if I wasn't not mistaken.
Yeah. I took mine more of a person, because when you guys first told me about it, I was like, okay, well, give me the list of all the shows ever. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to circle all the shows that I really, really love. And then I kind of, after I did that, I was like, okay, would I be proud to hold this up as one of my top 10? And I mean, for my first two, my one and two, I they are mainly based on quality, but I think after that I kind of got more into stuff that influenced me, stuff that I love, stuff that I hold up as one of my favorite shows out there, and that are different than, you know, I mean, because I have like Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Mr. Robot in my top 10, which are completely, I want to say, original takes on things, as opposed to like a traditional sitcom show that there's been a billion of those. So yeah, I was kind of more of a personal thing for me. I was voting with my heart, not my head. But the first two, which my first, I don't know if we're giving up our top five right now, but my first one and two, I think, are I would hold up against any show.
Yeah, you can go ahead and give your, if you want to give your five or ten.
My first one was The Wire. My second was Seinfeld. Third, this is where I started getting a little personal for me, Married with Children, then Mystery Science Theater, then Justified, because I grew up on Westerns and I was force fed at gunpoint Westerns, and Justified is one of the best modern Westerns takes based on an Elmore Leonard book ever, and I'm a huge Elmore Leonard fan. West Wing was six, Mr. Robot, which I've never seen a show like this in probably 15 years. Maybe. It's one of the most original, awesome shows out there. 7. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 8. 24, 9. And Chappelle's Show, 10.
Nice. Amanda, how about yourself?
I think I had a little mix of personal and things that I know are just popular and quality shows that I had to mix in there. But really, this task was so daunting, I had to enlist the genius of Kevin. And he just printed the list off me and, you know, kept handing me things. And they're like, okay, you know, 70 to 100 now. And
it was similar to what DJ was doing, where you just had the whole list and at your first run through, just kind of circle all the shows that you think at least you consider for top 100 and kind of see how many you have and then start narrowing it down was the approach we took.
So I just went to town with the highlighter, and I definitely had some personal flair to my list, but I definitely added some shows that I've never even seen but I know are, you know, have a high regard. My top 10, number 10, I had American Horror Story, number 9, Dexter, 8, Full House, 7, Walking Dead, 6, The X-Files, 5, Supernatural, 4, Game of Thrones, 3, Law and Order, 2, Saturday Night Live, and number 1 was CSI.
So, most of your top 10 made it, and number 2 was number 1, so.
Yeah.
But my number 1 didn't make it. I was really shocked about that. There's so many spinoffs of CSI. There's so many episodes. I've seen so much of the show. It's ridiculous. It seems like it's always on, just like Law and Order. But I think my top 10 had definitely an Amanda feel, but had some shows that...
what are you saying there? American Horror Story, Walking Dead, X-Files, Supernatural?
I know what you're talking about. I can definitely champion a lot of these shows. So.
She's a warlock.
She didn't put some of her other favorites on there, for the record. So I don't see.
Are you regretting not putting Supernatural higher, so get it higher on the list?
No, I didn't want to make a fool of myself, so I put it at least at a reasonable in between road and number 5.
All right, Mike, last but not least, how about yourself?
Looking at my top 10, I have shows from the 80s to the 2000s in my top 10. Like I said earlier, with my number 1 and number 2, I did it solely for points to make sure they got on the list. But these are the shows, because we've done this 3 times now, we've done it with animated series, animated films, and now this, because I know my list is going to just go into a giant lottery ball and be mixed in with everybody else's. And that's how we get the overall list that we've presented to people. I mainly had my top 10 out of shows that I absolutely love for the most part. And I think they do deserve to be on a top 100 somewhere, not necessarily in the overall top 10. I had The Flash at number 10. Don't care what anyone says. That show is awesome. Cold Case at number 9. Dharma and Greg at number 8. Mad About You at number 7. Boy Meets World at number 6. The A-Team, Airwolf, Knight Rider are my 5 through 3. And then The Shield and Nash Bridges are my 2 and 1. I think only one of my 80 shows did not make the top 100, which is Airwolf. I don't remember Airwolf. I don't remember us talking about it. Yeah.
You were the only one to vote for it.
It's Borgnine crying somewhere.
Wow. Yeah. Jan Michael Vincent's somewhere crying. This is great. Alex Cord's tears are coming through that eye patch. But for me, like, I know Knight Rider like the back of my hand. I did a whole podcast on the entire show, reviewed every episode, whatever. With the A-Team, I remembered it, but it was one of those things where I still needed to go back and rewatch it. And I've been rewatching it, and DJ knows this because I tag him on Twitter every time I'm watching an episode half the time now.
Every random time I'll get some kind of text message, which will be a line from Face or Hannibal. I'm like, this is a good day.
The A-Team is such a classic 80s show. It is probably the single best team-up show that has ever been on television when it comes to those guys. Because their personalities are all so different, yet they work together so well. And there's moments in that where you just don't expect it. Like the one where they have to save the foreign guy who helped them out over in Vietnam. And he's like, oh, I made fortune cookies, classic family recipe. And he leaves and Hannibal opens the fortune and they ask him, well, what's it say? I love it when a plan comes together. And you see that on the cookie and you hear BA just groan. It's absolutely hilarious. I'm really surprised Mad About You did not make, even in like the 90s, you know, part of the countdown. That show started out as a comedy, but it eventually turned into an emotional drama with everything that happened in those 8 or 9 seasons for that show. But yep, that's my top 10.
Okay. Well,
I actually really like Cold Case Files. I think that's something that I didn't rank because I didn't know what the popularity of it was. But that's one I do agree with you on, Mike. I think that show, it's one that I think it takes that cop drama feel and kind of puts a little spin on it. And it definitely is an emotional ride, too.
The sad thing about Cold Case is it'll probably never, ever get a complete series DVD set. And the one reason why is because of all the licensed music they used in the show. Don't get me wrong. I love watching any of those episodes and hearing whatever song that fits that episode and remembering whatever song that might be. But sadly, because of all the licensed music in the show, I don't think they'll ever get it on DVD in a complete series set, which really sucks because that is a damn good show.
Yeah, I mean, well, to kind of go back to the listing thing, I think it's what happens too is that the danger of the I'm going to list this here because this is where I want it to be on the list is if everyone does that, I think that's when you get things like The Flash being up as high as it is, or Arrow being up as high as it is, or Daredevil being a top 20 show, is that you never know what other people are going to vote for. And you might think, okay, well, everyone's going to have I Love Lucy in the top 10, so I'm not going to put that in the top 10. But then no one does, so then it ends up not being a top 10 show. So I think, I mean, I understand that to a point, but I think that's the danger in that, because you don't know what other people are going to do. And I think that's kind of what you saw with the list, is that a lot of shows that maybe people have had personal passion for, which I understand, I get that. You ended up seeing a lot of people with, you know, we have a lot of people with similar taste. So a lot of shows that maybe would not be a top 100 show for like Time Magazine would be for us. Like maybe for some example, like Briscoe County Jr., a show that I did not expect for it to be on the list, but enough people had it on their list. So it made it.
Yeah, that's something specifically I tried not to do this time. Like my first personal choice is not even in the top 20. So I tried personally not to do that, but I think it's unavoidable with people to, you know, as they kind of know how the system works, to try to game it a little bit. I've done it before, so.
Yeah, I definitely understand it. I mean, it may impact, for example, like I can't say never impact anything I did, because there might be a show like, I don't know, like a classic show like The Honeymooners that maybe I would put higher because I think maybe people might not get it. So I think everyone does that in a certain extent. It's impossible. It's the way it goes. But why don't we take another quick break real quick, and when we come back, we can discuss the list itself. Shows we felt were too high, too low, and shows we felt deserved to make the list, but did not.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving?
I don't know.
A couple months before all this, these two wild ducks landed on my pool. It was amazing. They're from Canada or someplace, and it was mating season. They had some ducklings. My daughter's friend was here to drive my daughter, Meadow, to school.
Meadow, your father with those ducks.
I know. The whole yard smells like duck poop. It's like embarrassing.
Girls, you gotta have more than just cranberry juice for breakfast, all right? You need brain food for school.
Happy birthday, handsome.
Mwah.
13.
Yeah, he doesn't act it.
Shut up.
The male and female duck just made a home in your pool and did it.
Ew! Get out of here! So gross!
Girls.
Mm-hmm?
You want some of last night's fouilladel?
Get out of here with that fat.
One bite. How do you stay so skinny, Mrs. Soprano? Him with those ducks.
Let's dissect this frog list. Oh, sorry, Kermit. where's the dissection going to start, Dan?
Well, I guess we can start with, I mean, let's look at the list itself. And we talked about some of this in the podcast already, so I don't think we have to go in great detail here. But any shows that jump out to you guys that are, you know, either way too high or maybe didn't deserve to be on the list to begin with, you feel like it should be off the list in any way, shape, or form?
I know what Amanda's vote's going to be.
Briscoe County Jr.
Hey, oh, gee, I thought you were going to say Family Matters.
We got to make spots first. We got to make room first.
Before we put things on, you got to take things off. So what are we taking?
Well, if we're taking things off, Agents of Shit. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's gotten better.
I think you can look in a couple different areas, I think, if you're trying to find maybe shows that landed that shouldn't have. And I think one of them is obviously the before-mentioned superhero bias. I think you can eliminate just about every single superhero show we put on the list with maybe, I'll give you Daredevil somewhere in the 90s, but you can take Arrow, Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., even Batman 66 for me, and you can take them all off the list. I think they're great shows. If we're making a strictly geek list, they should make it. Or if we're, you know, doing sci-fi, fantasy, superhero type stuff, obviously they'd make it. But I think in this type of list, none of them really deserve to be in the conversation, and that would clear out four or five spots for us. So
that definitely would. DJ, I know you were only on two of the shows, but any lists or any shows that you feel like were listed any place that you would maybe not consider for the list?
I'm going to go a little controversial here because this is a show that I completely adored the first season. But I think the second season tarnishes it so much it shouldn't be on this list. And that's True Detective. I love the first season of True Detective. Second season of True Detective, it in its anthology way, just it's not awful. It's just so not the same quality of the first season. So for it to be number, was it 61? This is like, oh man, it's above shows like Alfred Hitchcock's Presents and The Cosby Show. A True Detective, again, first season, Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson, amazing. Second season is just so scatterbrained. It tarnishes where it as a show. It should be way lower, if not off this list, I think.
I can see that. I did vote for it in my, I don't know what I put it. I put it like in the 80s, I think. Mainly because of that first season. It was so great. Like, it was like everything I could imagine TV being that I felt like I did deserve. Maybe you shouldn't
small be sample a, be size. A, small samples. Yeah. I mean, if this second this third season comes out and it knocks it out of the park, then sure. But right now, it's if this is baseball, it's got a great average, 500.
Yeah, true that. Yeah, I guess the way I justified it was ultimately when I said like how great your show was. What was the level of greatness that you reached? And to me, the first season of True Detective, I could put against any season of any other TV show ever, in my opinion. And not many other TV shows that you could put that towards. I get that, you know, longevity could be part of it. For me, longevity isn't an issue, especially with television, because a lot of shows are designed, especially British shows, like Ricky Gervais, like he never designs a show to be longer than two seasons. It's still, you know, how he feels like a show should be. And so, and sometimes shows, very rarely does a show that go beyond, like, usually five seasons, six seasons, seven seasons at the most. Usually, you don't get many shows that have more than solid seven seasons. Even Seinfeld, which ended on a high note, it took a couple seasons to get there. So I look at, you know, where was your peak? So that's why I did consider True Detective. I could see the argument, same thing with, like, Fargo, which only had one season, though its second season is getting much more praise than that of True Detective.
The quality's still up for Fargo.
Yeah.
And I'm probably in the minority here, but for Big Bang Theory to be anywhere above 30 Rock, Fresh Prince, The Shield, the Johnny Carson Show. I'm in the minority. I'm not a fan of Big Bang Theory. So, and I know many people are, but man, for that to be higher, there's so much better show. Veep is like 20 behind it. So it freaks me out a little bit.
I think that brings up something too for me that is another thing that I kind of considered when I was making my list is, and I could have done this based on the time period it came out or based on the genre, but I tried to eliminate as many like shows as possible and just decide which one stood out more above the rest for the most part. So, for example, I guess if you were looking at the 80s and you're thinking about, you know, you got a ton of sitcoms with Growing Pains and Facts of Life and Charles in Charge and Who's the Boss and all those. If there was one that really stood out, then fine, I'll put that on my list. But then that automatically eliminated basically the whole rest of the group. And I'm not saying that's necessarily 100% what you did, what you would have to do. But for me, I just wanted to kind of let the cream rise to the top and add some more diversity. I think there was a couple times where we didn't do that. And I think you're touching on one of them with the modern comedies. And I'm not saying that all these aren't good shows, but you have How I Met Your Mother, It's Always Sunny, 30 Rock, Big Bang, Community, Modern Family, and Parks and Rec. So that's like 7 or 8 sitcoms that all were in within like a 3-year period. Maybe they all deserve it, but for me, I would have tried to figure out which ones of those really stood above the rest and kind of eliminated some of the other ones. Same, I would have done the same thing with some of the 90s comedies. You know, we have Fresh Prince, Home Improvement, Boy Meets World, maybe one or two others. Like, I'm saying figure out which one had something better, more special than just your, you know, cookie cutter sitcom, which one stood above those. And maybe clear some space for something else with the other ones. I was surprised, actually, that we didn't get some more 90s sitcoms. It wouldn't have made my list, but I was, after seeing those, I was expecting to see, like, that 70s show, Everybody Loves Raymond, Will and Grace. So I guess I'm happy that there weren't a bunch more. But for me, some of those maybe were more unique than putting all the ones that we had in there. So,
see, the issue with that I see, though, is that, I get that to a certain extent, but uniqueness.
I'm not saying it always works. I'm not saying it always works. Like, for maybe those modern comedies, maybe they all do belong. I can't judge that because I haven't seen enough of them in their entirety.
I mean, I could understand something like How I Met Your Mother, or, you know, some of the other ones like that do, you know, they're like How You Met Your Mother, and like I think we mentioned this on the podcast, and like Modern Family have kind of a similar audience they're kind of going for. They're the more kind of family friendly type of sitcoms, but it's a hard thing to quantify, really, because like comedy is such a big genre that it's like to eliminate, like, okay, so I'm putting Veep on the list, but I'm not putting The Office on the list because they're also modern comedies, or Parks and Rec.
What I'm talking about is like the same time. Here's a good example. Like, if we were doing an animated series, I'm not going to put Family Guy, Cleveland Show, American Dad. You know what I mean? Like,
I wouldn't put those on the list to begin with.
But. No, I'm just saying like those are so close to carbon copies of each other. That I don't think anybody would compare Veep with Modern Family. I've never heard those comparisons. So I'm more so talking when it's like almost an identical show.
But I guess they would compare like Parks and Rec and The Office US or The Office UK. And I would feel like,
arguably, and in some cases it's warranted, but in other cases I don't know if it's always warranted. I guess is my point.
I could see that. I mean, like for the TGIF stuff, for example, like would you put Perfect Strangers, Step by Step? Right. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Hey, you back away from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Stay away from Sabrina.
She made my list.
I'm just saying, for me personally, when you only have 100 spots, that's one tactic you could use to try to add a little diversity and maybe a little bit, give some more credit for like the more unique take on stuff. And I'm not saying, like I said, a lot of those modern comedies might work. I haven't seen them, so I can't judge them. But I'm thinking more so like, especially like in the 80s sitcoms, there were so many carbon copies of each other. That's like, okay, was one doing something a little bit different that maybe made it a little bit more standout? Then I'll put that one and I'll shelve the rest.
I mean, I definitely think diversity would be beneficial for a list for sure. But my point was just that it's hard to, I would be hard for me to determine where to do that. I mean, right. Certain ones are obvious, like we talked about, but certain ones I would be.
It would tend to like lead to there'd be almost like a beneficial if you had like a precursor debate on, you know, 90s comedies, which ones are the best, and you have that discussion and you really hammer it out and debate and argue and go back and forth, and then maybe you come up with the cream of the crop. I'm not saying you have to do that, but that's one thing, because I think you have another situation with we had like eight or nine sketch comedies as well. And I think that's a little bit easier for sketch comedies to kind of be unique and diversify themselves a little bit. I think maybe I would take a couple of them off because I don't think they resonated as much for me. But maybe.
So which sketch comedies were?
I'd probably take Whose Line off, and I'd probably kind of go back and forth between Kids in the Hall and maybe Arrested Development. I mean, I like some of those, but I'm just saying maybe if I'm considering some of the other ones.
Arrested Development's not a
Not Arrested Development. I'm there was another one that we had.
Key and Peele?
Yeah, Key and Peele. I think I would side with putting maybe Key and Peele on there, take Kids in the Hall off. I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, you have all those sketch comedies. I personally probably would have gone back in the day and put like a Jack Benny show or a Red Skelton show in one of those spots, just to kind of
I probably wouldn't have, like, looking at it, like, Kids in the Hall I like, but I don't know if it's a top 100 worthy per se. Key and Peele I like a lot too, but I don't know. I guess that one's I think a little bit more questionable. Like Chappelle Show, I definitely think it's deserving.
Right, I had that one on. Yeah. I mean, I think there are a bunch of that are deserving. I'm just saying, maybe if you're trying to like squeeze a few more in, and I guess me personally, I'd knock Knight Rider and A-Team off, and because I personally like a couple other 80s action or shows, but that's just, I know I'm in the minority on those two.
Yeah, your boy didn't even make it. Don't even go there.
Well, I was thinking more so. I was thinking MacGyver.
No, MacGyver. He's a huge MacGyver fan.
So, Mike, moving like over to you, what are some shows that you made the list that you think you would not include in the top 100?
Obviously, Agents of Shit. No matter how good it's gotten now, those first two seasons suck. I don't think eliminating the superhero shows makes a difference, because none of them cracked the top 20.
Daredevil was at number 20.
Okay, well, Daredevil was at 20, but I mean,
I'm not saying it makes a difference between the spots. I'm just saying it opens spots for maybe some of the shows that we might have missed. Right. Like a Mad About You, like you said, I would put Mad About You in over those easily.
Oh yeah, but I'm saying, like, if we're going by what you love to go by, which is all time, you have to also include some of the more modern shows. And
we did.
We
had a lot of modern shows. That was not our problem.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Where it's a point where everybody's like, oh, none of the superhero shows should be on here. Blah 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 blah. You know, they should, even if they're in the low 90s or 80s.
Right, but Daredevil in the 90s, and you take all the rest of them off.
No, you're wrong.
But what, I guess, Mike, why should they? Like, what, like, I understand the idea. I mean, it's a geek list. It's a modern, a list, but I think there are a lot of great geek shows that,
well, for example, Mike, you listed your top 10, and I wasn't, like, checking them, but I'm guessing that, just off memory, that at least six of them were not on the list. So you wouldn't take, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Arrow off of there to put Mad About You, or to put one of those other shows that didn't even make the top 100 on there?
No, I would take stuff off like Key and Peele and Who's Line, and then stuff that I don't think belongs on the list. If I was doing it that way.
What would you say, like, a show like Key and Peele doesn't deserve to be on it, but a show like Flash does?
Flash is better. It's more entertaining to me.
But isn't that kind of like that? Have you watched Key and Peele?
I've caught a couple of clips here and there, but it's not, again, it's not entertaining. I've seen a few of the skits. I don't laugh at it. I'd rather have In Living Color in that place than Key and Peele.
I guess, I don't know, like, the idea that, like, the superhero shows have to be on there, I guess, is one.
I'm not saying they have to be. I'm just saying that everyone is saying that they don't deserve to be. Well, I think they do deserve to be.
But what's the argument for them to be on the list? Like, what, beyond that, I like them? Because that's, I mean, like, there's a lot of shows, that you could say that, but that's impossible.
So the superhero shows, specifically Flash and Daredevil, I don't...
Like, I love MacGyver. I'm not saying it should be on the list.
You know, specifically with Flash and Daredevil, they're two very well acted shows. They have engaging storylines. They have things that keep you coming, things that keep you guessing.
But isn't that, like, that's an argument for it to be a good show? That's not an argument for it to be a top 100 show of all time.
Well, to each their own.
I guess that's kind of the way I look at it. Like, I do, like Kevin mentioned, like, when you eliminate, looking at genre, picking out, I think that's important. But, I mean, I didn't see a lot of people, like, ground roll of support for something like The Incredible Hulk Show, which was very critically acclaimed at the time, had impact, certainly, as a culture, made Lou Ferrigno into a star. I mean, what else could you do for a show? But, I don't know.
Right, that's why I think you can make an argument for a show like that. You can make an argument for what Daredevil kind of set the stage for with, you know, this next chapter. That's why I can see some of those, but I don't see what impact Arrow or Flash or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. necessarily had, even in their own genre. A little bit maybe, but not when you're considering, I mean, if we're talking like top 100 shows of the last 10 years, 15 years, then maybe they get in there. But if we're talking top 100 all time, I don't necessarily see how those would have some type of credentials that would outweigh some of the other shows that people were yelling at us for not having in our top 100.
Yeah. But Amanda, any shows that you saw on the list that you would take off?
I already mentioned the Briscoe County Jr. I think Sports Night, I don't give a shit about that. Whose Line? questionable.
Sports Night's a good show, but I would agree with you. I don't know if I would put in the top.
If you're going to take off a Sorkin show, that's probably the one you're taking off.
I'm also not a fan of The Daily Show or The Colbert Report, but I do understand why they're on the show, so not hating that they're, or why they're on the list, not hating for that, but just I have a severe distaste for them. And also Monty Python I don't like either, so hate all you want, hate all you want.
Unbelievable.
You can't be friends anymore, DJ.
We were friends?
I just got excited.
Wait.
So some shows that I would possibly take off the list, and these are shows that I like, and I was just thinking kind of on along Kevin's point where he's saying, like, you know, some of the shows that kind of come together. And one of those to me would be like Veep and Silicon Valley. I think I love both these shows, but I think Silicon Valley's only been around for, it's only been around 2 seasons. So I don't know if it's top 100 worthy yet. I think, again, this is all time. So I love the show. I actually did rank it. Maybe that was a mistake on my part, but I could see an argument for not including that show. I do think Veep has an argument because it's been around a lot longer when you look at things like the award season. It has, I mean, it just won best comedy. So I think there's more of a groundwork there to say it has a evidence that it would have more of a impact after it's gone. The one show that became like the early show on the podcast, which was Scrubs, which is a show I was not the biggest fan of. Homeland, again, a show I really like. I did argue for it, but I do think like it had one great season. I don't know necessarily if it's a show that would deserve being top 100. It's arguably on there. What was that?
Like Boardwalk Empire for me. Like I think Boardwalk had like one. For me, I kind of got tired of that thing, but it did have one great season and a lot of like stretching out the storyline stuff. Homeland kind of did that for me too.
Yeah.
For the record, I did have Scrubs as one of the shows I would remove, but I didn't want to bring it up. So
I've gone back since the whole blow up about that on the comments and everything else. I've gone back and I've watched like the first 3 or 4 episodes of that show. It's okay. Yeah. I find some of the jokes funny, but it's not.
I don't have the distaste for it. I just looking at other like. I mean, I'm glad we have some. It's only one of 2 medical shows on the list, which was
surprising.
Kind of surprising, but. Those are, we talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. already. I had that on my list that didn't belong. But anything else? Any other shows that we think should be off the list before we get into things we should be on the list or should be higher than they were?
We hit all mine.
All right. Well, Mike, let's start with you here because I know you had a number of shows on your list that didn't make it. So what are the first shows that come to your mind that should have been on the list that didn't make the top 100?
Say what you will about the show. Say what you will as far as it coming after Walker, Texas Ranger. But, like, I know I was a little too young to really get Miami Vice. And Miami Vice was a dark damn show in the 80s. Don't get me wrong. But for me, when Nash Bridges came out, I was 16 at the time. I was big into cop shows. And I thought it was really cool. I think it maybe at least at 100. It's a really good 6-season show. You have this guy who is basically a complete success at his career and a complete failure in his personal life. It's got a 1971 Hemi Cuda. How can you, anybody that likes, cars would like that. Other shows that I had that I think should have made the list, Amanda talks about CSI, and I've watched the original show. I refuse to watch Miami because I can't stand David Caruso.
Well, he takes the sunglasses off in such an awesome manner.
He takes the sunglasses off and then puts them back on.
He never looks at the camera. He never looks at the camera.
But
he's always...
He puts on sunglasses and takes them off.
Just so.
He's like a love child between William Shatner and some other, like Ron Howard, I swear to God.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
That's scary. That's really scary. Like I said, Amanda mentioned CSI. I remember watching like the first three or four seasons of the original Vegas show, and I remember really, really loving it. I haven't watched it at all recently. But when they announced the CSI Cyber show, you think about shows that are, you know, things, crimes that are happening today, and most of the crime that happens today happens on the internet. And that show is, at least for me, if I was making a top 10 of this year or last year, it would easily make the top 10 somewhere, because that show is really, really engaging. That cast is pretty awesome. So that would be a show I'd put somewhere on the list. Let's see. How can The District or Without a Trace or Coach not be on here? What about Dallas and Dynasty? Everybody loved Dallas and Dynasty back in the... First of all, Dallas has the single best TV villain of all time in J.R. Ewing.
It's true.
Hands down.
Simpsons,
I mean,
copied it. That's how great that show
is. Well, Simpsons copies everything. I mean, Simpsons is nothing but, you know, a photocopier half the time.
Not really, but okay.
In the early years, it wasn't. Lately, yeah. I'm trying to think. Night Court. Why is Night Court not on here?
That was my number 47.
Amazing.
I love that show.
I would probably also find somewhere for Law and Order or Criminal Intent, because that was a show that, again, was built around the character of Robert Gorin. And this guy is all kinds of screwed up, and that show explored his journey of being a cop and being classified as someone who could be a psychopath.
That show was too smart for over 70% of the population. So.
And it had Jeff Goldblum.
Thankfully, for only one season.
Hey, Goldblum's amazing.
Don't ever say anything bad about Jeff Goldblum.
Again. Don't you dare say anything bad about Jeff Goldblum.
Is he coming back for Independence Day 2 and 3?
God willing.
Oh, so we're going to fight off the aliens. I mean, come on.
Must go faster.
But yeah, that's pretty much what I would have.
DJ, how about you?
I wasn't on the earlier show, so I apologize if these weren't on there. Was Rome on this list? No, right?
It was not.
Rome, I would say definitely, because without Rome, there is no Game of Thrones. Rome was kind of like one of HBO's bigger shows, so much that it was costing them so much money. But I thought I loved that show, and that was kind of like appointment viewing for me. I echo Night Court. I love Night Court. That's one of those shows where, kind of like a Seinfeld, where you can walk into any episode and you're caught up, and it's just fun. This is a fun show. And
the one thing about Night Court, really quick, I'm sorry to interrupt you. The one thing about Night Court that I realized, you know, Night Court has a connection to the A-Team.
Oh, God. Bull Shannon?
No. Christine Baranski. Or not, what's her name? The lawyer that's always
Marky
up
Post?
There with. Yes. Marky Post was Face's girlfriend in an episode of the A-Team.
Oh, perfect.
Lots better tonight.
I would also, mainly because of the main performance on this show. I apologize. House was not on the list, right?
No.
And House, for it to be, I watched two seasons of that show before I realized all it is a Sherlock Holmes adaptation. And I'm forgetting his name right now.
Is Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie is awesome. Hugh Laurie, and essentially most of the cast. I mean, that's probably the best acting I've seen from Omar Epps in his life on that show. that show was great. And the whole, once I realized how they're doing the Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty is the disease, and it's Wilson is Watson. It's a great, great, great show for a doctor show, where most doctor shows are following a formula like an ER or St. Elsewhere, or, you know, Chicago Hope. House was a little bit different, and it had one of the best characters on television. House is just a son of a bitch, and it was so awesome. So,
I watched Hella House. I've seen a ton of
those. Is that the spinoff?
Hella House, right? Mos Def was an episode that was an amazing episode. Yes. There was a ton of cool guests on there, I think, too. So I echo that.
It's a really good show if, like, you catch up to it. Kind of lost its way near the end of it, but for at least four seasons you're getting some really good stuff, especially from Lori. With that character, you're getting great acting out of there. So yeah, I'd say House and Rome and Night Court, because John Larroquette's awesome.
He's in West Wing for a little bit. Yes. So you got a little bit of him.
He's in everything, though. He's in The Librarians, for Christ's sake.
Let's not bring that up. Don't
do references for The Librarians over the course of our...
Amanda, you mentioned House. Did you have any other shows you felt like should deserve the top 100?
Oh, where do I begin? Family Matters is where I'm going to start.
How many 1990 shows can we have in 1 minute?
Just wait, because I got a ton. Family Matters, Tales of the Crypt. That was
101, so I barely missed it.
God, I love him so much. That crusty asshole. He was so creepy when I was little, but I remember on Sundays we had HBO when I was little, and that was my before bed show. I don't know why my parents allowed that, really.
Well, your attraction to me makes a whole lot more sense now.
I didn't know before. I didn't make so much
you still,
sense.
Do you tell scary stories at night?
That's too? How he wakes up. He just jumps out of a casket and starts screaming at her.
He tried to scare me at the movie theater the other day when I went to the bathroom. He was like hiding when I came back, and he had his like cell phone camera waiting to capture my scream. Anyways, I've got Are You Afraid of the Dark? The Munsters.
That did get some votes. The Munsters almost made the top 100 until like the last couple lists. It was actually like, I'm like, on there for quite a bit until like the last five lists I received. So
I had so much fun with the Munsters. Elf. Nobody voted for Elf for the top 100 here.
Oh, it did.
That show was fueled on cocaine. The writer was so coked out of his mind,
and it worked for him. Okay.
I mean, the fact that they had an alien on TV, a puppet alien that ate cats, and like that was
it totally worked. I have
Elf
so much cocaine. Pillow.
Elf so was 124. So
it was like watch Mork and Mindy or Elf, and which one was?
I also have I Dream of Jeannie, Unsolved Mysteries, my shit, Xena Warrior Princess, whoop whoop, all that. Vikings and Wilfred are my more recent little guilty pleasures.
Xena is an interesting one to bring up because actually 9 people voted for that show, but no one voted for it very highly. So that's why it didn't get very, like, no one put it above 80. So it was 119 on the list. So there was actually a lot of love for Xena. It was one of the shows with the most votes per most people voting for it. That and Perfect Strangers, which had 10 people vote for it, but a similar, like, it was all, it only had like, had less than 100 points because no one really put it above the 90s. So it was just weird how that worked.
I'm actually super sad that Dexter didn't make the list either. I think that
finale hurt it.
Yeah. It definitely, I heard that there's works of it popping back up again, maybe even a reboot style. I'm all about that, so we'll see.
Dexter.
Amanda, let me ask you, with Unsolved Mysteries, sadly, obviously, as we all know, Robert Stack passed away. How do you feel Walter about Magnus. Dennis? Yes, we know. We don't have time for that right
I'm sorry,
now, DJ.
I'm sorry.
How did you feel when they brought in Dennis Franz to do Unsolved Mysteries?
Is he the darker haired guy?
He's the guy that was on a season of Law and Order with the mustache.
I never saw the Unsolved Mysteries with him, honestly.
I want to say that I have, but I don't remember him as much as the original guy.
Dennis Farina or Dennis Franz?
Dennis Farina.
Like Dennis
Farina. Yeah.
Franz?
I like, I never saw that one.
Even... I was like, whoa, when was...
No. Oh, yeah.
That's all right.
Either way, I didn't see that guy, but I love that show. That
I don't know, there was an Unsolved Mysteries without Robert Stack. That seems sacrilegious to me.
Just like how there shouldn't be a America's Most Wanted without John Walsh.
You mentioned Dexter. Dexter was another one that almost made it. It was 112 with 6 people did vote for it. So a lot of the ones that you picked were almost on the top 100. I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
I guess. Makes me feel like less of a douche, but still the pain.
Mission accomplished. Kevin, I know you had a bunch, so what's some of the shows you felt deserved to make the top 100 that didn't?
All right, buckle up, everybody.
here we go.
I got two separate lists, so I'll go with the legit ones, and then I'll just go with my personal bias, I guess. But from the legit ones, I think there was a big hole on our list when it came to mysteries. And pick any of them, Murder, She Wrote, Columbo, or Perry Mason, I think somewhere there should have been a spot for at least one of those shows. Yeah. I had Murder, She Wrote the highest, but I had all three of them, I think, in my top 50. I think just the character of Columbo, the character of Perry Mason are two of the most, two of my favorite characters in TV history. So I would have loved to see at least one of those shows make there somewhere. And then I think from a classic standpoint, I was super shocked that Mary Tyler Moore Show and Leave It to Beaver did not find a spot somewhere in the top 100.
See, I'm shocked by Mary Tyler Moore, not so much Leave It to Beaver. I guess
I just thought it would be something that people just thought, like, I was surprised because I think when you were talking about before how sometimes like the classics get forgotten or they're not as fresh. So sometimes I think people just vote with whichever name they remember the most.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd get stuff like Leave It to Beaver, Gilligan's Island, Brady Bunch, maybe some of those shows, even if they didn't deserve it, I thought we would get some of those token, like just name recognition shows. Go ahead.
I think with a show like Leave It to Beaver, though, it's almost like a joke in a way. Like it's more, it's in a sense that like it's, people use it as kind of a barometer for like unrealistic expectations of what life would be like. And kind of like All in the Family was a reaction to something like Leave It to Beaver to show you what people really acted with. So I think I get Gilligan's Island's one I would be surprised by, too, because that one is just such in like the zeitgeist. People, it's, you know, it's parodied everywhere. So that'd be one I think I was a little surprised by. I didn't get a little bit more votes. There were, it had like, six people did vote for it, but no one voted for it very highly. So.
And then, like I mentioned, for a couple of the sketch comedies, like Red Skelton or Jack Benny, I thought maybe there'd be spot for them. I know we had Gunsmoke on the list. I was surprised that Gunsmoke made it and Bonanza didn't. Yeah. I could see how one would eliminate the other, possibly, but they were definitely, you know, big-time competitors for quite a few years. Mike's mentioned Dallas and Dynasty, so I can see that. I think maybe a little bit of a gender bias, because I think if we had maybe more of a female presence in our voting, you would have a few other shows that might have made it, like Sex and the City. That was a super popular show for quite a long time.
I never wanted to watch Sex and the City. That shit was totally unrealistic.
I didn't like it personally, but I thought maybe it would make the list. I think the Ed Sullivan Show, for what it was, maybe could have deserved a spot. I'm not huge on it. Like Mike said, Mad About You. And my last legit one maybe was Sanford and Son. I always enjoyed that one. And then just some fun ones from a personal standpoint. Obviously, MacGyver would have been a selection for me. My favorite show of all time. Quantum Leap. I had Flight of the Conchords.
That's a great show.
I just think a lot of people haven't seen that. So I would put that, especially with as many sketch comedies and some of those other modern comedies, I thought we might see it somewhere, but we never did. Stargate, any of them, I thought maybe there'd be a presence since it was a geek-centric list, like especially SG-1. And then I always enjoyed Party of Five in My So-Called Life, just from a nostalgia standpoint, but I wouldn't legit ask for them to be in the top 100. And then let's give some love for Dr. Quinn, huh? and then maybe like a Laugh-In or a Hee-Haw. I don't know.
Yeah. I had some of those. Like, I did have Perry Mason, Columbo. Definitely Mary Tyler Moore. I think that's probably one of the bigger ones we didn't have. We had a lot of modern shows, so I wasn't surprised these didn't make it list. Like Dexter, Masters of Sex, The Americans. I also had Get Smart, which I think it's kind of along the same lines of like a Gilligan's Island. I don't know how great it was, but growing up, it was one of my like favorite comedies as a kid. Watching Taxi, I think that's a big omission as well. Murphy Brown, which was huge in the 90s. I know, like Kevin, you mentioned a lot of shows like ER, which would have been higher if we did it in the 90s. I think that's the case with Murphy Brown. Some geek-centric shows like Orphan Black, Black Mirror, Battlestar Galactica, which I know we got a lot of people saying why that didn't get votes. I was surprised. That didn't get many votes at all. And I don't know.
I hate Battlestar Galactica. I'm sorry.
Which, both the newer and the old version? I never watched them.
The Edward James almost. Yeah, I watched like 20 episodes and I can't. I was like, man, I'm really giving this a shot and I just can't.
I've never watched it, so I can't really speak. DJ, were you a fan at all? Or
I was kind of enamored with Katie Sackhoff. I kind of still am. She's like very, very good on that show. Usually if it's a great performance on a show, no matter if the show is mediocre, I'll push on through. I never got to finish Battlestar. Can't say I didn't like it. It's just one of those things where it was like, how many seasons was it? Was it seven seasons?
It seemed like it
I
can't was even 100. Remember.
It seemed 100. Like it was going on forever. So I was like, this is like Doctor Who. I'm never going to finish this. So yeah,
I was like, I don't know how much time I'm going to have to invest before I start getting a payoff here. So.
I mean, that came out when I started watching it when I was kind of getting into BBC stuff like Misfits and Utopia and stuff. Got a chance to finally finish it, but the shows I saw, I loved. I love Katie Sackhoff. Edward James Olmos was very good on that show. The President's Wife from Independence Day, Bill Pullman's wife, I forget her name. She's on there too for a little bit of time. I can't remember her name. The performances are great. The sci-fi effects are sci-fi channel-esque, but I can understand. It's not everybody's cup of tea. Yeah.
I was surprised too with the modern shows that we were listening to, that we didn't see like a Grey's Anatomy or Entourage.
Oh, Entourage. Yeah. I figured, yeah.
Yeah, Entourage, I guess, yeah, a little surprised by that. Oh, another HBO show that I think is quite good, but is 6 Feet Under. Twin Peaks. I wasn't too surprised it didn't make it, knowing the people that were voting for it, but that was high up for a couple people. Oz as well, HBO show. The UK version of The Office, Homicide, Life on the Street. We had a lot of animated shows, I am a fan of King of the Hill, and speaking of classic, I don't know if this is classic, I guess it is, it's like 30 or 40 years old, like Second City was one of my favorite sketch comedy shows. WKRP in Cincinnati deserved to be on the list, and some another geek show, which I'm not surprised, but something like is another like personal favorite, which would be like Spaced with Simon Pegg and the Edgar Wright show.
You just hate Phantom Menace, that's why you like Spaced.
Exactly.
I think if I was going to put one more animated show, I would maybe fit Archer in there, just because I like that.
Oh yeah, Archer's way smarter than people think it is.
Yeah,
way smarter. Yeah.
Did I say Lassie? I'm sorry.
You did not say Lassie.
I just wanted to get a dog or Mr. Ed. I want a horse or a dog in there somewhere.
No Flipper? No Flipper?
Which incarnation of Flipper? There's only 9 of them.
All, you know, magic dolphins. That's the key.
We need some magic dolphins.
But
immortal dolphin.
All right. Well, pretty much it. Any final thoughts or anything on the top 100 we wanted to discuss before we bring this episode to a close?
Bro, Mr. Ed. What about Mr. Ed? No love?
I said talking horse or Lassie.
Do you want to know how they made that horse talk? It's frightening.
Peanut butter. Right?
I heard it was a carrot not placed in his mouth, so we might not.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break and come back with some response to the feedback. We'll be back.
I have
after
a diagram.
This.
Let me show you the diagram.
No, we don't want to see the goddamn diagram. Get out of here.
And you need a volunteer, right?
Right. Right.
Don't you smile at me like that. That's not even a real smile. Just a bunch of teeth playing with my mind.
All right, we are back, and we're about to wrap it up here on the GCRN Top 100 TV Shows Countdown Finale. And shame on all of you. We got no emails, no voicemails. I have been saying for the past 2 weeks on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else to send us emails, send us feedback, and nobody sent anything in, because usually Steve Megatron forwards all that stuff to
people
me.
People are too busy watching the 6 episodes of Star Wars getting ready for next.
To be fair, I don't know if there's much more to say that we did get, you know, like right. 100 comments yeah. per episode. So it's hard to go beyond
no shame
that.
On them.
I'm going to email you just what I just wrote on your post just to.
Well, no, but I mean, like, after the top 25 was out, I figured, oh, somebody would write in, or somebody that hadn't commented, that, you know, because what I've found out in 7 years of podcasting is there are a lot of silent listeners out there that don't comment or don't interact. So I actually, while we were doing this finale episode, I actually went back and I looked at all 4 posts, 100 to 1. Part 1 of the countdown, the Part 1 podcast episode, got 119 comments. Part 2 got 142, Part 3 116, and Part 4 105. In total, 482 comments for the overall Top 100 TV Shows countdown.
That's awesome. Thanks, guys.
That is so awesome. Yes, thank you to everyone.
No shame on you. Thanks for the 400 comments and for the debates. That
shame on everybody else for not sending in emails that didn't comment.
You are forgiven. We forgive you.
No, it made it a lot more it made it a lot more fun interacting with everybody on the posts and debating and arguing and going back and forth. And there was some great conversations. I think only maybe one time, Dan, that it went a little
south
as far as you know, proper debating and conversation, but for the most part they were intelligent debates and I enjoyed them.
I apologize to you off air, so I don't know what they
do. We're still friends.
One of the comments on, I think it's on, is it on part four?
We only have 400 and some comments to fish through to find it, so.
Which one are you referring to?
I'm going to strangle all four of you guys.
I haven't said anything about it.
Well, Steve's in the background somewhere mimicking all of us, so four guys. Anyway, one of the newer commenters, RackJ82, asked, is there any chance of doing this again one day but having a bunch of the listeners make our lists and see how they match up? And what I had said was, in response to it, was, we may do that in a few years, but we would still use the same system of whoever sends in lists, we would still compile them all to make the overall list.
Right. And there may be an opportunity for them to do that coming sooner than they think. So
yeah.
We already read their mind on that one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Steve mentioned in the comment that there is plans for things next year where it will be more fair interaction when it comes to creation of a list, maybe not of top 100 manner, but it's something of that nature. So
yeah,
I think it'd be interesting to see, you know, what fan reaction would be or what a fan list would be for sure. So,
and what I think I like best, even more so than the 400 and some comments that we got on the website, was the number of different people that we heard from. It wasn't like it was, you know, two or three of us just commenting 100 times back and forth to each other in a big debate. Right. We heard from dozens of people, so it was fun. Some new faces, some old faces. So I think it's a great jump off point for more of these in the future and interacting with them. Hopefully we can choose topics that they're interested in.
And I know we brought this up already, but this is the third time that we've done a top 100 for Geekcast Radio. So if you've done it, you like this, go back and listen to, and we did one for top 100 animated movies in movie series as well. So you can kind of check those out and kind of see where it all began.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at Geekcast Radio, the Geekcast Radio feed on Blog Talk Radio, because how we do all of our getting our stuff onto iTunes, we submit through blogtalkradio.com now. What I noticed on here is the number of listens or downloads for each part, each of the four parts. Part one got 194, part two got 109, part three 132, and part four, the top 25, got 99. Now, I don't have the numbers on the other, because we simulcast this over GCR, Altered Geek, Telecast, and Remote Control. So I don't have the numbers for the other three feeds, but I do know at one point in iTunes that I think it was either part two or part three was when you look at the Geekcast Radio podcast page in iTunes, the Telecast feed was the number one feed.
That's thanks to me. Yeah. That's the only way I was listening to it.
Overall, I think it was a very interesting project. I think it's going to be interesting to revisit it at some point.
I'm already looking forward to a future list based on something that Fox did this last week.
Oh, Lord.
No. I'm scared.
Our lists really oftentimes get fueled by other lists, and just...
yeah, if it's not IGN, it's Fox.
top 100 Donald Trump quotes.
Let's not. Okay, so let's go around the room. Dan, what is your overall final thought?
I had a question as Dan's final thought. Actually, I mean, he can give his final thought, but I had a question for you, Dan, because we said that a lot of times other lists fuel our ideas and make us want to do a specific topic. And I know that you had seen a list from what was it, Entertainment or Entertainment Weekly?
Hollywood Reporter.
Hollywood Reporter that had a top 50 or top 100 shows, whatever it might have been. So I'm curious, do you think we did a better job? Or because their number one was what?
Their number one was Friends. Yeah, I can't remember. I was actually just looking at that again today. It was weird. We had some similar shows, like some of their shows show up or some of shows that we had really low. Like I Love Lucy, they had it like around the same spot we did, and I don't know. It was. I think there are stuff. I think we got better. Like I think we had The Wire higher. We had West Wing a little higher. They had Sopranos in their top 10. They did miss stuff like Muppet Show, which I think is deserving of top 100. They didn't have any of the superhero shows like we did, so I don't know what that means. I don't know. It's hard to. I personally think, regarding my tastes and what I like, I think we had more shows I just felt deserved or were nearly to what they were. I mean, overall, I think if I were to grade the quality of our top 100, because it's a fun project. I don't necessarily know how accurate of a representation it is. I'd probably give it like a B-, and that and there's like a C-. So. I just think that, you know, it's with when you're getting such a big pool of people, it's hard to really understand like where it's going to end up. And so things are going to be kind of weird. It's more of a doing it the way we're doing it, where we're not sitting there and like determining based upon like having a 4-hour right. meeting to figure out what number one is. We're just going based upon votes. So it's kind of a wacky system, but it works in that end. But yeah, I don't know. I'm rambling now, but I think our list is overall better. But like I said, I think there's a lot of things which we've gone over, and that mm-hmm. I would definitely change.
Absolutely. Supernatural being higher.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably put Supernatural in the 1-10 spot, just repeating it over and over again.
Hiddlicky is happy now.
I don't care about him. I just want Jansen Nichols.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
You know, he started out on Smallville, right?
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of stuff. He was also in My Bloody Valentine.
He was almost Captain America.
What?
Oh, God, no.
That just blew my mind. How does that happen?
He auditioned, but, you know, Chris Evans exists, so.
Thank God.
But DJ, I know you missed, like, half a list, but based upon what you saw so far, thoughts on the list overall?
I just want to say I had a blast doing this because I'm old and curmudgeon-y, so I don't remember most of my youth. But
aren't we all?
The TV. I'm a child of being raised on a television, and once I'm starting to think about shows like Monty Python and you can't do that on television, and it kind of reminded me of stuff that I forgot about. You know, Benny Hill and all this other stuff. And it's been a blast. I think there's always going to be a debate on television because there's a zillion freaking shows. And
yeah.
We have different tastes and different stuff, but I just found making this list just to be very, very enjoyable, even for the shows that when my shows were not on somebody else's list or when certain people didn't like Married with Children, who will remain nameless. It kind of still it made me fight for a show that I grew up with. You know, I just had a great time, so thank you.
It's great having you. I'm sorry that you missed out on being able to talk about Mr. Robot a little bit more.
Man, I could talk. We'd still be on that show if I was still on.
No, I want to thank everybody, too, though, because obviously the first half of the countdown wasn't on my list. So I have at least like 50 shows now that I can go watch. So you added all my Netflix queue and my Amazon Prime queue. So got lots of stuff to watch and catch up
the
on.
The winner, now. Netflix. Yeah. Amazon wins.
I'm actually surprised how many classic shows are actually on Netflix. Somebody mentioned that in the comments, and I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know they had classic TV shows. Like, Annie right. Griffith's show was on Netflix. I had no idea. But Amanda, any final thoughts on the list overall?
Your first list, was it fun or not?
It was probably one of the most daunting tasks ever. Like, I looked at this list, and I was like, what? You want me to do what? And I was blown away, but it couldn't just be my personal faves. And I was like, well, no. So I had to clarify 8 times. This is not just the shows that I like. This is not just the shows that I know everything about. This is actually just legitimate shows too thrown in. So it was hard. I think that it brushed the nostalgia into my cheeks and made me really dive in and be critical on some things that I really enjoy. So it was great, and thanks for having me on.
Kevin, What about
final
you?
Final thoughts.
Man. What was it like to be not in, in a different seat for a list?
Yeah, exactly.
It was fun. I mean, I was a lot. Like I said, I was nervous when a show after show that wasn't on my list was popping up. But it was fun not to know, and I got to play some games. Like I remember I sent you like the my predictions for the 1 through 25, and I had 22 of them right. So
yeah,
that was fun. But yeah, I like both experiences. I like kind of knowing what's going on and watching for people's reactions, but I also like being surprised, and there was a ton of surprises in this list, that's for sure.
I had a thought on that, actually. Instead of next time, whenever we do this, whatever
like,
topic...
Whenever you have a thought, that's scary.
Shut up. Instead of only one person knowing what's coming, like, if... Obviously, we're doing these in, you know, 25s now, so... Let us know what's on that part of the countdown. Don't tell us where it is going to fall, but let us know what shows are on there, and then we would be more surprised to see where they actually land versus keeping everybody else in the dark other than the person that has the main list.
I think on the one of the next ones that we have coming up, people aren't going to need to do much research, so it's going to be pretty easy to talk about whatever shows up.
Yeah. Damn franchises. All right. So I honestly have no idea what's coming up next on Geekcast Radio. Remote Control, I have plans of bringing that back. I just don't know when off the top of my head.
There's a lot of stuff in the works. So just keep an eye out for all the different feeds in 2016.
I pertaining to Geekcast Radio, I'm not sure... The final two Star Wars countdowns, when those are going to happen, I do know that episode 90 will be our year in review episode. That'll be airing on New Year's Eve, so you guys can tune in for that.
I'm going to be getting drunk. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are going
to
be doing.
We record it before New Year's Eve. It airs on New Year's Eve.
I'm not going to listen to it on New Year's Eve. Definitely not.
Day after. It's the hangover cure. That's the purpose of it.
That's right.
It cures all hangovers.
There
better
go.
Than Gatorade.
Exactly. That's our slogan.
Anything's better than Gatorade. All right, unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time.
But wait, there's more.
And late to the TV party, Steve Megatron.
Who? Who the hell's that guy?
I don't know. Who the hell is that guy?
The guy that didn't want to sit through an hour and a half.
Oh, God.
No, but it's me. I'm here. And there's quite a significance to me showing up. We had feedback email. And okay. I was not able to be on the record that night.
Okay, so just to give everybody some back, well, you guys already know. The end of the show, I shunned everybody for not sending us any email. And then the next day after we recorded this episode, Steve is like, oh, yeah, we got email. So
yeah, we got him about the reason I didn't notice it was when it came in, it was about around 5 o'clock. And typically that's when I'm walking away from my computer. So
yeah.
Until, you know, like 10 something at night. So I don't always see it until that point, or I would have seen it the next morning. So, like, of course, you know, it wasn't seen until the next morning when I checked my email and it ported over. So yeah, there were two emails.
Phenomena. Manamana. Mm-hmm. Just a second. It's for you. Manamana.
The question is, what is a manamana?
The question is, who cares?
The first one is by Connor Murphy.
Okay.
So he says he finished the top 100 episode and sending in the comments. For one, the project itself was a lot of fun and love when we says love when you guys do these. On the good side, this one kept me in the most suspense. The animated movie one last year, I could easily predict the top 20. This year, that was not the case. Some shows I'm still shocked by. The Briscoe County Junior Sports Night and Full House come to mind. I don't think any of those shows should have made it. I'm sure there are others if I look back at it in more detail. I was happiest to see the Muppet Show make it so high. That was a pleasant surprise. These are long, so be ready. For the record itself, the things I liked better this year were the use of clips. This was a nice little touch that made it feel extra special. The records themselves were quite long, which made it a tad daunting to finish. But hey, it gave me a week of content to listen to on my drive to work, so it's not the worst thing in the world. Having DJ and Amanda on was also great. They brought different voices to the mix, and although I didn't always agree with them, especially you, Amanda, sorry, I did enjoy hearing their takes. I hope you do this again, because I'm looking forward to it. Connor Murphy. Your thoughts before I give my thoughts.
Thank you, Connor, for the email.
Yes. Thank you, and yeah, I have to agree. Some of the shows were a bit a surprise. To get this out right away, and I don't mean any offense to this. I did vote for superhero shows because, and I still argue that Flash deserves to be on the list. But again, I'm not gonna like beat that dead horse. But so yeah, there was a little bit of that in there. Too, so I can get why some people are upset about that. But yeah, I agree with the choices of the shock of why they're there, like with those three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get why some people put them on there. Again, and this is how I viewed the list, and it's not necessarily even my own take per se, but everybody, I'm guessing, voted on this thing based on a multitude of reasons. One of them was because the way that we do the ranking scale up to this point, which again, it's going to be changing in the future, but because of some instances here. But the reason some of the personal lists ranked certain things so high was to ensure that it made its spot on the list, not necessarily that it actually deserved to be that spot on a list. Because of the way the rankings work and the point values and stuff, it works out to be a certain way. So I can see why some people voted for certain things. And it was even admitted on the show, like, for instance, Kevin's Cosby Show, like me, like the Boy Meets World. Again, it wasn't nostalgia. It was trying to make sure that the show got there. And I was by no means saying that they should be in the top 10. I was just saying that they deserved to be on the list. And that was the same thing with The Flash. I think I put that at number 4. Yeah, because TNG I had at 3. I don't have my list in front of me because my computer, I'm douching it out right now. But anyways, that's partially why that happened. The other thing is, if certain people grew up with certain genres of shows, whether it's something their parents exposed them to or something that they themselves sought out, for instance, I would never have saw a show like, you know, Gunsmoke or half the stuff that came out in the 70s and 80s. Like, there's certain things in the 80s that I grew up with, and there's certain things from, you know, all the different generations that I'd caught.
Yeah.
Because of what my parents watched. But if my parents didn't expose me to that older content, I have no reason to want to check it out because it looks like garbage to me in today's
standard.
Yeah, in today's shooting standard, as far as like audio visual quality, not necessarily story, because there is a lot of garbage that's on TV now. But as far as the aesthetics are concerned, it was garbage, not necessarily the story. But it was good for the time. So, again, I can get why people are upset certain shows showed up and certain shows didn't, you know. So it's one of those things that it's depending on what you are exposed to. And that's what is on your list. You know, same reason I have a lot of 90s and late 80s and 2000 stuff on my list is because that's what I've watched over the past 20 years. So that's, of course, going to be what I gravitate towards, with some other stuff sprinkled in there. The thing about the clips, the top 100 animated films, I think the reason that wasn't done with clips was because a lot of the stuff, it would have required one person to do because nobody knew what was going to show up on that list.
I made us,
especially with some of the indie stuff, and the difference between that and the top 100 animated series list is the animated series, they all had a theme song, and a lot of those, actually I think all of them had a theme song to some degree. It may not have been the one that everybody remembers, but it was a theme song. So again, that one did use the clips as well. The last one, because of, you know, the not only timing and trying to get everything in there and the exposure of stuff, that's why that wasn't in there. But this time, yeah, I definitely agree. And there's some things that will kind of present themselves in the future. So yeah, glad that you enjoyed it. Sorry that they're a little long. We tried something a little bit different this year with, instead of making 7 episodes, we made it 5.
Connor, I'll tell you this right now. Between the animated films countdown and this top 100 TV countdown, in total, they are both countdowns are 10 hours of content. So, the top 100 TV show one, we had, I think it was like two or three. Was it two or how many of the four parts? Part 3 and part 4 of TV were both 3 hours 8 minutes and 3 hours and 38 minutes. So because as Steve said, it was, you know, going to go longer cuz we were doing 25 entries instead of 20. So but it, in overall between the animated films and the TV countdowns, they both add up to roughly around 10 hours of podcasting each. So that's 20 hours of content for two different countdowns.
Yep.
The next email is from...
And the next email is from... Let me use the right mouse. I have my laptop and my desktop in front of me because I got a new solid-state drive. I'm trying it out.
Yeah.
The next one is from Rachel Manning, who says, I had to write in with a show that is criminal you didn't include, Battlestar Galactica. I was a fan of the original and a fan of science fiction, but more so, I am a fan of great cinematic television. This show went beyond my wildest dreams. Some people have a hard time with certain dramatic and artistic choices made by the producers. But to me, those choices only make the show stronger and gutsier. The new Battlestar Galactica concentrates on characters, drama, and the human condition and shies away from the fantasy serial elements of the original and others of the genre. A first-rate cast with real acting chops help ground the story and characters in a universe where the audience cares what happens to them. This is the antithesis of the original that relied on caricature villains and cartoon storylines. This new show tackles real-life issues about human rights, religion, and the moral ambiguity of war. Yes, I know I butchered that word. It's no wonder Battlestar Galactica has garnered glowing reviews from Time Magazine, Rolling Stone, TV Guide, and the American Film Institute. With that type of praise assumed, you would at least put it in the top 50, but nothing. Shows like Supernatural, Corny Batman, Family Guy, and shows barely out of their first season, clearly Battlestar Galactica is just as deserving, if not more so. You know, I haven't
watched... How many of us... that's what I was wondering. How many of us have actually watched either one of the Battlestar Galacticas? I know of the show, I know of the series, both of them, but I've never actually seen them.
You know...
So, when I was making my list, I only put shows on my list that I've actually seen at least 5 episodes of.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I did with mine, too, is I only voted on shows that I watched at least 5 episodes of at some point. That being said, I probably would have omitted some of the superhero shows that I put in there. And even some of the other shows in general that I put in there to write in some of the ones that I forgot. It even existed, because again, I didn't watch this show, so it really wasn't on my radar. But I definitely agree with you. It is kind of a crime that it's not there, and it's another, you know, huge sci-fi thing. You know, that Babylon 5. I mean, they all go hand in hand with like Star Trek and you know, Doctor Who and all these things that have lasted for decades. So yeah, I definitely get that. Supernatural, I have to defend a little bit. And it's not for the reasons that Amanda had. I don't exactly remember besides the argument that she had was because it should be there. I enjoy the show because it's one, it's got lasting power. It's on its 11th season now. Granted, three of the seasons suck. I'm not going to deny that. But the rest of it's pretty damn good. And so I'm glad that it showed up on the list, even if it is on the high end or the low end.
Low end.
Depends on how you look at it.
No, it's the low end.
Yeah,
it's a countdown from 100 to 1, so yeah, 100 to 50 is the low end.
Yeah, low end of the stick. But anyways, it showed up, and I'm kind of glad that it at least made a presence there for having that much time. Whereas you get shows like Briscoe County Jr. that had one season. So I'm not throwing the show under the bus specifically,
I know.
I'm just saying in general. And corny Batman, as corny as it was the only superhero show we had that early on. I mean, you could have wrote Wonder Woman in, you could have wrote, you know, some of the serialized Superman and Batman stuff, but that really was like the entrance of superheroes into TV. That's the only reason I voted for that. Family Guy, as much as you love it or hate it, it's got lasting power and people for some reason like it. I have watched a little bit of it here or there. It is like nails on a chalkboard after a while, but I can see why it's there. I totally get your venting on the Battlestar Galactica. So it's definitely well received. And you never know, within a couple of years, we'll probably end up revisiting some of these lists, including this one. And there might be a drastically different output because people may have gotten exposed to some of the shows that were listed that, of course, we may not have been familiar with. So, you know, you never know. The list could turn out entirely different with a whole new setup. So so there's to that.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the top 100 TV finale for the countdown. Coming up next on GCR, I have no idea. Unleash the Geek in You, and we will catch you next time.
Boy Meets World. Now I get it.
Arg.
You've just listened to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.